Good morning. Welcome to worship. Welcome to everyone who's online with us. It's always good, and it's good today to be together, to connect, to seek to encounter God together. As we gather, remember, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The ushers are passing connection pads here. We hope you'll leave your name. Let us know you're here. Let others know you're around, who's around them, and that helps everybody get to know each other more and more, and especially guests that may be among us. If you're online, of course, go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and let us know you're worshiping with us. Reach out to us. Let us know how we can be in connection with you. As we gather today, surely there are prayer concerns you have or celebrations you want to share, and you can do that with the cards in the pew rack, or you can do it on the front page of the website. Again, there's a prayer request button there, and we hope you'll do that. If this is your first time with us, or if we've not connected with you already, we have this Welcome and Connect card, and of course we invite you to connect with us online. You can leave this with me at the back after this service, and I'll be glad to speak with you there and answer questions you might have, give you our gift bag. We want to be in touch with you, and thank you for being among us today. You may have noticed Pastor Wendy, our senior associate pastor, has not been around for a little bit. She's in Chile with her husband Carlos and their family on leave doing mission ministry work with schools and churches there also, and we're looking forward to her being back in the first part of August very soon. There's a study that's coming. I'm going to lead a new study, a special study, starting on August 14 called Love Examines. It's part of our Love Is sermon series, which also has a Love Does component and a Love Feeds component, and you've seen that postcard, I hope, or you've gone to our website and you find all that information. But I'll be teaching this study during the Sunday school hour and then repeating it on Mondays beginning August 14. We'll look at the Bible, the nature and authority of the Bible as the Word of God, and also look at Romans chapter 1 where Paul talks about human sexuality. And so I hope you'll be a part of that study and in one of those points and engage with us as we do that together. Our summer student mission work trip was this past week, and they are home a day early. They went to work in the Appalachian Service Project in Kentucky in Hazard County, where all this flooding happened, and they were always safe, but they did leave a day early because of that flooding, and then spent a day in Memphis, and they made it back yesterday. We have great leaders, Austin Levirafon, our director of student ministries, and Pastor Trey Witzel were with them, and other adult leaders, of course, and they had a great experience, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that as days go by. We're glad they're back. I have a couple of introductions today. You know, we've been looking to fill a music position. We've divided that position into two, and for the director of children's ministry, music ministry, choirs, Kaylee Williamson is here, and she has accepted that position. So if you have children or grandchildren or know of children or grandchildren who would benefit from music and choirs, etc., she's your person, and we're your place, and we hope that you'll connect with us. Kaylee, we're glad you're on board. Your experience, yeah. I applaud you too. Your experience and all that she brings to that in her heart and her faith makes that wonderful. And then we also have Ruben Alcala. Many of you know Ruben. He's been around for some time. He's a doctoral student at OU and has much experience, and he's going to be director of youth music ministry choirs. We're glad you're among us. You're well prepared. Thank you, Ruben. We're glad you're here and also helping us today. Ruben also brings his faith to this. We're glad to be people who form faith in children and youth through music as well as in other ways. We are glad that God has provided. We continue our summer sermon series, Encounter God, today, and this is my opportunity to share one of my encounters with God, experiences with God, as a way of sharing that with you and sharing a message and also inviting you to have, of course, your own experiences with God. Speaking of encountering God, let's stand to sing and worship today, number 61, Come Thou Almighty King.
Good to be in worship together this morning. Let us join together in our responsive reading found on your bulletin. God comes to us in the presence of those we encounter day to day, in the hearts and the eyes of those we meet, and in the stories of faith we hear when we listen. God meets us as we love others as God loves them, sharing grace and mercy freely. As we continue to become the people God created us to be, God is with us every moment of every day, everywhere and right here, in every way we can imagine. Look around and see the beauty of the presence of God.
Let us pray. Eternal, loving, and holy, gracious God, we are certain as the air that we breathe, that you are here, that you're among us, that you're at work in the world. We're as certain as the rivers that run and the rain that falls, even on those days when it's hot and dry. We know that the seasons change and you're always at work in some way to come to us, to meet us, that we might encounter you. And we're grateful. We're grateful for your grace. We're grateful for your wisdom and peace, all the benefits that you give us because of your great love for us and for the world. We pray, O God, that you would help us to be your people well, to be holy, to be kind, to do all we can to make a difference. We're glad that we can be a part of the church. We're glad that we can be a part of this church. We're glad that we can be collected and connected together as your people in ways so that we can reach and bring redemption and help and wholeness to the world. Forgive us, O God, for the ways that we pull apart or we find ways to be condemning. Help us to leave the judging to you and instead to be the people who are emissaries of your good news. O God, among us and perhaps in our own lives, there's pain and there's hurt, there's grief and there's danger and there's all the things in life that challenge us. And we need your guidance, we need your wisdom, we need your strength, we need the strength that you provide through others. And so help us to be those who know how to lean, to ask, to invite, to welcome your work in our lives and the work of people in our lives. And so we give you ourselves, we entrust ourselves to you, and we invite you deep into our lives, praying together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Church, please stand and take out the smaller Faith We Sing, turning to number 2128, Come and Find the Quiet Center, hymn 2128.
Thank you. Jesus taught us by example how important it is to provide physical as well as spiritual care to all who need it. McFarland's care ministries reflect the deep commitment that we have to share God's abundant love with you during times of difficulty and during times of joy.
One day you may need support for yourself, a family member, or for a friend who's going through a challenge or tragedy in their life. There are also moments of celebration in life, such as the birth of a child, where extra support and care is a welcome gift. Whatever you might be going through, McFarland strives to make sure you are cared for throughout your life.
We want to walk beside you and help you navigate the challenges and burdens that life can bring. In times of crisis, it's understandable to feel emotionally, physically, mentally, and spiritually overwhelmed. We want you to know that you are not alone. Not only is God near to the weary and brokenhearted, but God invites us to find respite and help from those among us who offer care in the name of Jesus. McFarland's Congregational Care Ministers provide the deep, foundational care that Jesus calls us to do. Through personal visits, phone calls, and written notes, these trained lay volunteers provide caring and consistent contact with you for as long as your care need exists. In addition to our CCM team, we offer a variety of other avenues of care that include pastoral visits, the Prayer Shawl Ministry, divorce, grief, and Alzheimer's support groups, our prayer chain ministry, meal ministry, funeral and memorial services, and the senior adult care team. We reach out to those especially needing care during a variety of situations: bereavement, before, during, and after birth or adoption, for those who are hospitalized or dealing with long-term illness or injury, divorce, job loss, and other challenging circumstances. If you or someone you know needs care, we want it to be easy to request the care that you need. Every church member should have recently received a magnet in the mail with a brand new after-hours support line for care emergencies. A crisis can arise without notice, and we want to be there when you need us. We know life's moments don't all happen during work hours, so no matter when you need care, you can call this number and a member of our care team will be with you as soon as possible. This after-hours number is meant for those immediate needs that just can't wait for the morning. Some examples of that include an accident, family tragedy, or medical emergency.
If you don't have an urgent emergency, but you'd still like to let your McFarland care team know of a pending surgery, a request for pastoral care, or you'd like to request care from one of our other avenues, you can do so by calling the church office and asking for one of our pastors or myself, Stephanie Miller. You can also submit a care need on our website. Under the Ministries tab, select the I Need Care page and submit a care form at the bottom of that page.
As ambassadors of Jesus to each other and to the world, our hope is that when you need care, you can reach out to your church family and feel the deep and unconditional love that God has for you. No matter what you go through in your life, we'll walk with you to offer a tangible expression of care, compassion, and comfort.
I am so thankful to be a part of a church that is so caring. In addition to the formal ways outlined in the video, I know that care also takes place just amongst conversations and the way you support people through your Sunday school classes and small groups, and it's just truly a beautiful blessing to be a part of a church that cares so much. And as we enter into this time of offering, let me remind you that this is an opportunity for us to continue to extend our care deep and wide, not only here in this community, but around the world. We are a caring congregation. Thank you for being a part of that as we enter into this time of offering now. seated. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 131. Hear now these words. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Thank you, O God, for your Spirit among us that helps us to listen and attend to the word that we hear. We pray that you would speak, that you would down in the corridors of our thoughts and feelings, that you would craft a message that we might understand today. And so we offer you our attention, listening, looking for nurture, for guidance, for whatever it is that is most needed in our own lives. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. The OU quarterback and 2017 Heisman Trophy winner, Baker Mayfield, once said, "Everywhere I look, someone is telling me you're not good enough, or you can't do this or that." He said, you can only hear that so many times before enough is enough. We use that word, enough, in several different ways. Sometimes you might hear someone say, enough already, or I've had enough, or a parent to a child who's getting too many cookies, or a bartender to someone who's had too many drinks. You've had enough. So it was on a dark and foreboding night in a garden setting just outside of Jerusalem. Jesus, distressed and agitated, we are told, feeling the pressure of impending crisis, prays in agony. He's praying before he's arrested to be crucified. And during the episode of this praying, three times he turns to find his followers asleep rather than praying for guidance and stamina. They're asleep. And the third time he rouses them, saying in the Gospel of Mark, "Enough, the hour has come." He uses enough in the sense of a call to realize that what is happening in their world demands their engaged perseverance. There is more that is needed. Sleepy inaction is not enough. They must get up and get going, as he says. There are times when all of us need, of course, an encounter with the voice of God. And it may come through prayer or pondering while someone is preaching or teaching, or it may come through our spouse or a best friend, a sister or brother in the faith, a colleague, someone to confront us with, enough, it's time to take action. It's time to be responsible, to wake up, to be alert. Time to realize what you are doing and make a change. This maybe is most applicable if we fall into bad habits or routines or addictions or even secret sins or other destructive and self-destructive routines or experimental soirees into bad conduct, sinful conduct that can injure us and injure and destroy relationships. When our inner spiritual self wants to live well and holy, but our mere human nature stumbles and falls into the wrong that we don't want to do, and then keeps falling until we are held captive by some destructive thoughts or behavior, then we need to hear God say, "Enough! The time has come to wake up, to stop, to recenter your life." And there are, of course, plenty of temptations to excess, plenty of temptations to indifference that can end up being excruciatingly destructive, both for ourselves and for others. And you may know someone who has succumbed, perhaps even temporarily, to the worst inclinations. And you may need to be the one who says, "Enough. The time has come to be aware." You may be secretly, although not truly hidden to yourself, engaging in things you wish you could stop, but don't. You may need to invite someone into your life to speak the enough for you and with you, to help you wake up to the much more that is better, the love and the goodness and the wisdom that God is calling you to honor and embrace. We all have our, I suppose, perennial temptations. My own perennial temptation, I'll pause here for dramatic effect. What is the pastor's perennial temptation? My own temptation has been to overwork, even to the point of ignoring my family. Too often, I would say. I can hear my wife, who's not here today, but I can hear her saying amen or something. I love to do the work of ministry. I love what I'm called to do. I love it, and I can feel driven by the weight of the importance and the significance of leading and serving so that lives are redeemed and the world is changed to be more like the way of Jesus. And many times I have needed someone to speak the enough for me. So I was sitting in the living room in a very comfortable chair with a floor lamp beside me under that light. It was early in the morning and I was doing a combination of writing and praying. I seem to pray best when I write in my journal, write prayers, write as I pray, and listen as I write. It was 2007. We were living in Shawnee, Oklahoma, in the parsonage. I was pastor of St. Paul's United Methodist Church, a group of wonderful people doing great ministry together, and I was enjoying that. And I was not only working as pastor, but I was serving as president of the board for the Family Promise, a network of churches of different denominations that we had pulled together, and we were helping homeless families get back into homes and jobs and dignity. We're having a great time doing that, and of course we had to raise money for all that. And I was active on the district committee for ministry, vetting candidates coming into the church for ministry and later for ordination, and I was just happy to serve as vice president and chair of the Ecumenism Committee for the Oklahoma Conference of Churches, which is the 16 denominations that try to work together and talk together across the state. And I was co-chair of the Oklahoma United Methodist Church Conference Board for Campus Ministry. And my plate was a little full. And my boss, the district superintendent, really liked that I was doing all those things, and I liked what I was doing. My cup was running over with responsibilities. And that morning in that chair, under that lamp, I had read Psalm 131, this psalm that Scott read for us earlier. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. Well, mine might have been raised kind of high to do all those things. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous, too much, I'm adding, and too much for me. But the psalmist says, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child who is with me. So I was pondering the meaning of that psalm, the image there of a weaned child sitting on his mother's lap, no longer clamoring to nurse, but calm and quiet, and now learning a next step of maturity. This little biblical poem, perhaps drafted by the mother, since it says, my soul is like the weaned child who is with me. This little poem speaks to being overcome with excessive ambition and the clamor for more. It names the value of learning to let go of some things in order to become fully who we are called to be. And as I pondered the meaning of the psalm, that text that morning, my mind, of course, was also filled partially with all the obligations and desires of my ministry work and what was on the calendar that day and that week, etc. And in that praying, as I was listening, for the first and only time in my life, I heard what seemed to be an audible voice. I even got up out of the chair to see who had said something. I heard the nickname that my mother used for me as a child, and three words, clear as a bell, it is enough. As I reflected on that, the voice sounded like my mother. And she was 150 miles away. She was not on the phone. Enough was the message. Not the enough of, enough, get up and get busy, but the enough of, time to slow down, cut back, find balance, breathe. And I was surprised not so much by the message. The message, of course, was not new, because I'd also heard that message in the voice of my wife sometimes. The message was not new, but I heard the voice of someone in particular who could say, I know you. I know the drive to work that was bequeathed to you in the way you were raised. In that experience, I heard the voice of God for me. I encountered God. I realized whatever that was, it was the voice of the Spirit breaking through to me. The Spirit had woven together memory and current experience and Scripture, working in my thinking and my feeling as I reflected and had knit together what became a captivating moment of insight. Not long after that, I resigned one of those leadership obligations as a way, a step toward finding balance. We all agree, I suppose, that we should find balance between, on the one hand, the pursuit of more and bigger and better, and on the other hand, the contentment of embracing and enjoying what is enough. But finding that balance, curbing our appetites and ambition, establishing new behavior, that is the challenge. It's one thing to encounter God's wisdom and calling. It's another thing to figure out just how to put that into practice. My nephew Curtis earned a degree in mechanical engineering, and he worked in that field for a while up at Perry, Oklahoma, at Ditchwich. And then he returned to farming with his older brother and with his dad, who is my brother, Kim. And you know, farm work today is quite sophisticated in some ways. The equipment is computerized, digitized, high-tech. They use it in the fields. The computer remembers where the tractor went, and then next time the computer will take the tractor down the same path, remembers how much wheat was cut here, and remembers you need to put more fertilizer there next year, etc. But there's also this greasy work in the shop where you have to fix things with wrenches, and Curtis loved that too. Curtis remembered working with my dad. My dad would work in the shop with them and fix things, and he knew how to do that. And so Curtis remembered when he was younger that my dad was torquing some bolts. And sometimes you have to just put the right torque on. You don't want it to be too loose. You don't want it to be too tight. And Curtis asked my dad, "How do you know when it's tight?" And he said, "Well, when it's just tight enough." See, this is how my dad could exasperate me. He would tell you things like that, just tight enough, and, you know, choke up on that wrench so you don't pull too hard and strip out the threads. And Curtis said, and he said this in a eulogy he gave at my dad's funeral, he said, "I wanted to know what just tight enough was. And so I took a wrench, and after Papa tightened the bolt, I put the wrench on it and pulled to feel how tight was just tight enough." So his muscle and his mind could learn what that was, so that he could then practice that himself. No doubt my dad learned that way. When he was 13, he left home, moved into the mechanic shop, Shep's Mechanic Shop, downtown, small town, Oklahoma. And I suspect one day Shep said, "Well, just tight enough." So it's been about 15 years since I perceived that voice saying to me, "It is enough." I have to say that I'm still apprenticing. I'm still learning. While I've learned, I think, quite a bit about balance, many weeks I still have much to learn. I still need to follow behind those wiser than I and search the wisdom of the Scriptures and search those who are wise at following the wisdom of Jesus, as if putting a wrench on the stories of Jesus, putting a wrench on the testimony of people who know and feeling what it is to find that balance. I have more scripture to engage and more time to spend seeking and learning, and I suspect a few of you might also. In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear Jesus invite us to learn from him because both his instructions and his way of living fit. They fit. They're designed to be the right size and fit like well-fitting shoes, so that we can live life in balance. We can learn to balance such things as duty and freedom, learning how much of each then is holy balance. I have more to learn, we have more to learn, to know what "it is enough" means. And there will always be new challenges and new circumstances that call us to learn balance. And we will go to the Scriptures, and we can go to the Scriptures and find real, solid guidance. I can go there and find the clear command, 6 days you shall labor, and the seventh day you shall rest. And if that doesn't help me figure out my weekly schedule, I can go and find Jesus saying the Sabbath was not made so that people could protect it by keeping the rules. The Sabbath was made for people so that they could rest. But the piece I haven't found yet, and I wish I could find it to show it to my wife, is I haven't found that it says Rockford, 60 hours shall you work, and 10 hours shall you rest, and sleep some too. I have to find the Jesus-defined values and the Spirit-defined principles and wisdom, and then learn, hand on wrench, how to apply those. I'm still learning. I'm still on the way. We are still learning, and we are still on the way towards what is enough. Thursday night, a week ago, fans of James Taylor flocked to Oklahoma City to the Paycom Center. I love James Taylor's music, the quality of his voice, and the uniqueness of his guitar playing, and his finesse with lyrics. I don't know about his faith. It seems he's had a rather kind of a skeptical affinity with God, or kind of a attracted skepticism. And he may still be on his way to discovery. But in 1997, he wrote a song called "Enough to Be on Your Way." It was a reflection on the death of his brother Alex. Alex died because of addiction to drugs, and James Taylor struggled with that early in his life. Alex's life was out of balance. Too much of something. And in the song, we hear this refrain: "It's enough to be on your way. It's enough just to cover ground. It's enough to be moving on." Well, there's some wisdom there, but I don't believe it's always enough only to be making a little progress toward holy and loving balance, to say, "Well, I'm on my way." But I do believe there is wisdom in being intentionally on our way, engaged on our way, as followers of the way of Jesus, seeking each day, in each season, and in each experiential circumstance to find balance between humility and ambition, between consumption and conservation, between self-concern and loving others, between license and law, between alarm and indifference, between work and rest, between not enough and too much, between judgment and grace. So I invite you to engage your faith. Examine the Scriptures. Endeavor to imitate Jesus. Pull on that wrench. Endeavor to engage and imitate those you see as most Jesus-like. Pause and ponder and pray and listen. and you may encounter God in a fresh moment. God who is always present, always participating, always ready to speak. You may perceive the Spirit call your dear name and hear, "It is enough." Let us pray. Thank you, O God, for caring about us, for loving us, for imparting wisdom to us in ways sometimes mysterious, but often clear, sometimes unclear. It keeps us on our way. Thank you for your great faithfulness to meet us where we are in the struggles that we face in this search for balance. And so help us to respond. Help us to hear. Help us to wake up. In the name and the way of Jesus. Amen. I want to say, if you are like, if you're searching for what does it mean to be a Christ follower, to be in the way of Jesus, or if you're searching for answers to questions, whatever it is you might be looking for, you're always invited to come and inquire, and if you're looking for a church where you can put your membership, you're always invited to that as well. But if you're online and you're looking, just contact me, contact us. We'd be glad to talk. I'll be at the back of this room after this, and if you're new, I'd love to see you. If you have questions, I'd love to speak to you. We can always make an appointment and talk too. Let's stand to sing our hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," number 140. Great is Thy Faithfulness. great to have our new music leaders among us, Kaylee and Ruben. It's great to have Stephanie Miller, our Director of Care Ministries, whom you heard about on that video, and we can offer care to you and among each other. And now, as we go, as God's caring people, as God's seeking people, may the God of all hope fill you with such joy and peace in believing that hope may indeed abound among you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.